Okay, we can. Is this thing working? Is that thing working? Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and make it official and say a prayer here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Ghost. St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Jude, Lady of Victory, Lady of Sorrows, Lady Help of Christians, St. Ignatius, Father, and Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, apparently, I have to verify this because I lost my bookmark. Apparently, we are on... Chapter 41, the theological virtues. I didn't do that last time, or did I? The chapter before was actual grace. I remember doing that one. Actual grace. Which one? Oh, okay. Okay, so theological virtues is where we are. Just to consider what the theological virtues is... faith, hope, and charity, of course. There's seven virtues of supernatural life, seven virtues to be practiced in this life. And seven is the number of the perfection of time. And as even St. Thomas points out, that when God created supernature, He made it in such a way that it perfects the natural. And there are seven stages of man's natural life. In order to perfect these seven stages, God in the supernatural life puts in the seven sacraments. So seven supernatural steps, baptism, confirmation, and so on, following the seven stages of life. And the same is true with regard to the practice of virtue, that God created the world in 7 days, that man lives through 7 days, and that's how he operates during his time. And so there are seven virtues to perfect these 7 days. Three of them are principles of supernatural life, which are faith, hope, and charity. And four of them are prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude, which are the cardinal virtues, or the hinge virtues, which are the virtues that deal with the moral life, or deal with the means to get to the end. But the most important virtues, and I think virtues that have been diminished in the recent centuries, is faith, hope, and charity. And I want to mention to you, I mentioned the retreatants just a few days ago, what faith, hope, and charity are. In order to do anything, you have to have four different things. We'll use the word things. I don't know what other words to use. Four different things. Before any action can be done, there must be four things. We're not going to talk about the four causes, but there must be four things other than the four causes. So there must be four things. First of all, there must be an end. There has to be an object that you're going after. There has to be an end. So a lot of times in philosophy, we give this example of a staircase in order to draw a simple picture of these four things. But so we'll just use the example that's given a lot of times in the philosophy classes. Here, end. End is what we have to be going after. The very first thing is the end. We say the end is the first in intention and the last in execution, is the way the philosophers say it. It's the first thing we think about and the last thing we do. Our personal end is happiness. We want to receive perfect happiness, subjective happiness. I want to have all my desires fulfilled. And that's the basis of every single decision that every man ever makes. Everyone decides to do things in order to arrive at their happiness. So that's the foundation of every decision. Now, virtues follow decisions. Therefore, virtues have to have the same kind of ultimate end, which is my personal happiness. That's the subjective ultimate end. But then there is an objective ultimate end, which is the thing that I find my happiness in, and the true thing that gives happiness, and that's God. God is the true end. Before going to the other three things that are necessary for any action to be able to be done, the end and the beginning are going to always be the same. God is, for all eternity, then He created the universe out of nothing. So there was God, created universe, then the universe is made for His glory and returns to God. So you have God, universe, God. So the beginning and the end are the same. That's an historical way of looking at it. But then also in the realm of principles, He is the first cause and He is the last end, the object, the purpose of all things. So we have the end is the first that is necessary. And then there must be, secondly, principles. I am a person that wants to go to the top of the stairs and find God. Well, there is a principle that makes it possible for me to get there. The word principle means beginning. Faith, hope, and charity are the principles of supernatural life, of the life of virtue. But the end is God. Then there are principles. And the principles flow from my nature. I have a body. Now this body is able to move from one place to another by walking. So we'll say here that we have the principle of walking in the example here on the board. You have the principle of walking. Man has the power to walk. He has legs that are a certain height. This determines the other two things that are necessary in order to get to God. So, first of all, this power of walking, my legs are able to go 1 foot in front of the other, and they can go up a certain height. I can lift them 6 inches or 8 inches, but I can't lift them 7 feet. And so there is going to be steps that are going to be made that are in conformity to my nature, that are in accord with the principles, and that lead to the end. These things we call steps or means. There are going to be means or steps to get to the end. Each step is about 12 inches long, 6 inches above the other step, and about 6 inches in front, or 12 inches, 12 inches, or 12 inches, 12 inches long, 6 inches high to the next one, and so on. And so there's your steps. You put your foot there, then you go to the next one. So there's steps. These are the steps that I take in order to get to the end. But that's not sufficient. There must be something else, a fourth thing, that connects the steps, that puts them in the correct order one to another. So if I just have 7 2x12s, laying on the ground, I do not have steps. They have to be related one to another in a certain way, so that one is higher and in front of the other, and another is lower and behind the other, and so on. They have to be related one to another. And that which relates them one to another and connects me to my end and supports the steps is called the law. Those are the four things necessary in order to accomplish anything. And that ends in natural and in supernatural life. In supernatural life, God is our object as heaven. We want to go to heaven. And the means to get there are the various virtuous acts that we do in daily life. Making sure you pay your just debts, being charitable to your neighbor, going to Mass on Sunday, the various practical steps that you take, going to confession, all those things are practical steps. Though there are virtues related to those practical steps, which we call the moral virtues, or the cardinal virtues, of prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. For instance, going to Mass on Sunday is fulfilling one of the cardinal virtues of justice. One of the parts of justice is to give to God. His justice means to give to everyone their due, what's owed to them. Well, God is the first one who must receive His due. So an obligation of justice is to adore God on Sundays, to pray to Him, and so on. These are all, so to speak, secondary things. They are all moral actions that we do in order to take steps to get to God. But if we have the steps, the means, going to Mass on Sunday, going to confession, all the external things, and we have the law, and we have the end, but there are no principles, or there's no power of walking, nothing happens. You can have a staircase, but if you're handicapped, then you're up the creek. You can't get up the staircase, unless you do like we do with Mr. Darren up in Fort Collins, and we just take him on his wheelchair, and now we have a ramp. But we used to take the little boy who was paralyzed, and we just pull him up the steps, and then boom, 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 and every now and then, we had to do it twice. But in any case, it's a pretty tough kid. No major problems. But in any case, but we had to. So you can't make it up the steps unless you have the power of walking. There are certain principles of the human body that if they are not followed, you can't have a house, you can't have staircases. You follow some very natural principles when you came down the stairs and you walked through a 36-inch doorway. You see, a few years ago it might have been a 24-inch doorway, but the average width of the human body has expanded over the years, so that now we have a 36-inch doorway. So in any case, things have changed. But nonetheless, you still have certain requirements. It's got to be tall enough where you can walk through it. It has to be in conformity to man's nature. And if it's not in conformity to our nature, it doesn't work. So if we had a solid bed of ocean underneath us, we wouldn't be having catechism class right now. Okay. So there are certain things that this building must be in conformity to man's physical nature in order for it to work. It has to follow the principles that are there. Now, the principles aren't in the building. The building simply follows the principles. And so we must go to Mass on Sunday, do all kinds of external things. But these are the related to the means or the steps to get to God. The steps can change, not totally, but many of them can change. They are related to the law, which is that glue that connects me to my end. Can't even break the law without the law. But then there are the principles. That power that does two things. It makes me able to walk, and it inclines me to go in this direction. St. Thomas says we all have inclinations. He says we're all like trees. We're leaning one way or another. And we just incline to fall this way. Well, God made us leaning towards Him. Our natures are made, when we're created, out of our creation, we're leaning towards God. And we're meant to go towards God. We have a little magnet, so to speak, inside of us that longs for perfect happiness and realizes it can only be found in God. That it becomes perfectly clear to us at the moment of death. When we die, when we reach that moment of death, there is a perfect clarity about the fact that we are made for God. And the soul in mortal sin realizes he'll never attain God. He's an enemy of God. He goes to hell for all eternity. He will never attain happiness. But that magnet is still inside of him. He still longs for God, even though he hates him. He still longs for happiness, even though he will never attain it. In order to have a supernatural goal, there must be a supernatural principle or a supernatural power that is given to us. This supernatural power is called sanctifying grace, but it is found especially in faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and charity are the magnets of supernatural life. We call them the principles or the beginnings. We have an end. We have a beginning. There has to be something in me that longs for the end, or else I'm never going to take the steps. So there's something in the principles that goes directly to the end. It bypasses the means and goes directly at the end. So we say about the theological virtues that they have God as their object. They don't have the moral life as their object, what you're supposed to do with your neighbors and so on. They have God as their object. The faith, hope, and charity have God as their object. So that we directly consider God with faith, hope, and charity. Now, faith, hope, and charity are the principles of supernatural life. Faith in the intellect primarily, by which we believe all the truths that God taught and the supernatural truths that He taught. Remember, we cannot attain heaven, we can't attain a supernatural and new kind of life unless we receive a new information, a new level of knowledge that will connect us to that supernatural life, and that requires supernatural knowledge, which is given by faith. When we have the supernatural knowledge, that's not sufficient. If I know that God is in heaven and it's really high up there, and there's no natural way that I can get there, then there needs to be an addition of supernatural hope, which gives me the confidence that God will pull me to that place. So the supernatural faith must come with supernatural hope. We are given the belief that God created us for the beatific vision of heaven. We're given the doctrines of the faith that we have to believe. But that's not sufficient in order to go to heaven. We have to also have the hope and confidence that God's going to give us the helps to do good and avoid evil and arrive at heaven. And then thirdly, we have to have the desire and the love of God, or else the faith and the hope aren't going to do anything for us. And so we have to have all three. And the way that Father Huckel used to say it in one of his catechism classes is that faith, hope, and charity are like whiteness, roundness, and coldness in a snowball. That they are all different, but they are so intimately connected you can't separate them. They're just wherever the whiteness and roundness is, there is the coldness of the snowball. The snowball, it always has all three of those things. And so likewise, a supernatural soul always has faith, hope, and charity in order to have a principle of supernatural life. And so the faith by which we believe, the hope by which we have confidence we're going to attain heaven by the help of God, the charity by which we actually love God, these things are infused into us by God from the supernatural, from above, and they don't come from us, and they're the most important virtues in supernatural life. When faith, hope, and charity are the magnets that make us go after the metal of God. When the magnet is weak, maybe it's barely alive so that we're not in the state of mortal sin, what happens is we hover down and we don't have enough power to come up, and when we do move towards God, we waver back and forth. We try to find our way to do the bare minimum. You know, what's a mortal sin? What's not a mortal sin? What's the bare minimum that I have to do and still remain Catholic? We got the minimal faith, hope, and charity, and all we're doing is wandering and not really getting closer. This weak faith, hope, and charity easily gets separated from God when we enter into the state of mortal sin. As faith, hope, and charity becomes stronger, the magnetic force inside of the soul, so to speak, becomes stronger, so that it simply moves faster and more straight towards God. And so I think what's important in our day and age is to focus more on faith, hope, and charity, the principles of supernatural life, rather than on all of the external obligations. Sometimes there's too much emphasis upon the external obligations, and not a sufficient emphasis on the principles that make the external obligations make sense. If you don't know why you open doors for ladies, you're going to stop doing it. If you don't know why you should dress well when you go to church, you're going to stop doing it. If you don't know why you go to the true Mass and not the false one, you're going to stop doing it eventually. Faith, hope, and charity instills us with the deepest reason why. And ultimately, the reason is quite simple. God. God is the reason. The truth is Jesus Christ, who is God. So that's really all we need to know. As we deepen in faith, we become closer and closer to the simple reality, the simple truth. And I do mention this example sometimes. Faith, hope, and charity simplify our lives. In the very beginning, we have many obligations and many things to learn and many things to do. But in fact, our life is very simple. The Catholic life is very simple. Faith, hope, and charity, as we deepen in them, help us to understand how simple it is, because our life is only for God. As St. Teresa of the Child Jesus would say, I am simply a little broom. And if God wants me in His closet, I want to be in the closet. If He wants to take me out and sweep the floor, I want to be out sweeping the floor. If He wants to put me back in the closet again and lock the door and throw away the key, I want to be in the closet with the door locked and the key thrown away and so on. I only want to do what He wants. And this simplifies our life. But it takes faith, hope, and charity and the practice of these virtues over a period of time in order for this simplicity to take effect. St. Thomas says, the better understanding that you have of things means the less concepts you will have. So as an example, often give during the retreat, so just give it here. Let's suppose that you don't know all that much, you don't know all the terminology about getting a light source in this room. And so I'm standing here at the front and I say, well, I need you to go back and next to that square thing that we walk through that's about that wide and a little bit tall, on the side of it there's a little box thing, and I want you to like reach towards the box and you'll see these three sticks sticking out, and they're movable sticks, and I want you to grab onto one of those sticks and push it in the upward direction, in a Celsius direction, and you push it upward, and then that'll cause like these vibrations of power to go through these wire things, and then they'll hit these see these little squares, not those squares, but these squares. It'll hit those squares there, and not the squares, not that plastic thing, but behind it there's these little glass tubes. And these tubes will go, and then boom, we'll be able to see. Can you please do that? You may not know what to do. But that person doesn't have a very good understanding. A man who has a greater understanding will say, turn on the lights. Fewer words, fewer concepts, better understanding. The lesser of an understanding we have of things, the more concepts we need, the more words we need, and the more confusing it is. The greater understanding we have of something, the less concepts, the less words, the less confusing. And faith is that virtue that will simplify our understanding. It is the virtue by which we believe all the things that God has revealed without question because of the authority of God revealing. Now, as we believe more and more and more, we realize that those 12 articles are really one. That is, they are Jesus Christ, who is the truth. But it takes time to get these many concepts, quote unquote, reduced to one. Faith, hope, and charity are the virtues that simplify these things, pull them all together. And eventually, faith, hope, and charity, as you meditate more and more upon them, they become more and more united amongst themselves. Faith is predominantly in the intellect. Charity is predominantly in the will. Hope is in both the mind and the will. It's kind of the connection between faith and charity. And then these virtues just simply permeate our lives so that we're able to be prudent, just, temperate, and have fortitude in a supernatural way. Without faith, hope, and charity, our prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitudes cannot be simple, cannot be supernatural. So that these are the keys to to making the life supernatural. And let's see, was it going to go through individually? No, okay, we'll have to hit this again then. So, I think that's sufficient. Anybody have any questions? And then we'll have to go through another class. Just remind me the next time that we need to go through faith, and then hope, and then charity. So, and because the next one is the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and then there's nothing more on the faith, hope, and charity. So we really need to hit faith separately, and then hope separately, and then charity separately. So, but in any case, anybody have any questions, comments, or complaints? Yeah. Okay. All right, good. So we can go ahead and we'll say a prayer here. Heavenly Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Jude, Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady Help of Christians, St. Ignatius, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.